This podcast is sponsored by Finomatch, finding the most suitable donor with the matching tool for the best teams.
Hello, and welcome to the Fertility Conversations podcast. The goal of this podcast is to create more awareness about infertility and to provide support to people trying to conceive. Thank you for listening today, and we hope you will be encouraged. And now, here is your host, Ola.
Welcome to another episode of the Fertility Conversations podcast, exploring solo motherhood by choice through IVF treatment with donor sperm can raise several concerns for people that might be looking at that option. And some of the common worries and concerns include disclosure to future children, genetic connection, family structure, social stigma, emotional impact, and financial stability, amongst others. Today, we are joined by Mel Johnson, who is a solo parenthood coach. She's a solo mom to her six-year-old daughter, who she conceived using IVF and donor conception. Following her own journey into solo motherhood and being so passionate about empowering women to fully understand the options on the path to parenthood available to them, she created The Stork and I. Through The Stork and I, Mel provides a platform and community for women embarking on this path to parenthood. She joins us today to provide more insight, to share her story, but to also provide enough information for people that might be considering this path to parenthood. So welcome, Mel, and thank you so much for joining us today.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Yay. So we usually start off by saying, tell us a little bit about yourself, whatever you'd like to share.
Yeah, no problem. So I am 45. I live in the UK in the northwest coast. I have a six-year-old daughter who was conceived with, like you said, with IVF and donor sperm. I am passionate about reading, and so you can see my bookcase behind me is full. So I love personal development books. I've read loads about being single, being a solo parent, all of the stuff around that. So that's a big passion of mine. I also love renovating houses. So I've bought a house which I've fully renovated. I'm very happily single at the moment, which wasn't the case in my 30s. And yeah, living a lovely life with my six-year-old daughter right now.
Wonderful. And so you're the perfect person to have here to have this conversation about exploring becoming a solo parent and using donor sperm. Yeah. In terms of your journey to parenthood and having your wonderful six-year-old daughter, can you share how was that decision to become a solo mom?
Yeah, it was really tough. So I was in a 7-year relationship, which ended just before I was 30, which is a disastrous time for a relationship to end for a woman who wants to have children. Because I grieved for the relationship, but also the big question was, what does that mean for now, me having a child? And I thought, well, it gives me plenty of time to meet somebody, and maybe it'll be a little bit later when I have a child, but you know, hopefully I'll meet somebody else and I can still get this back on track. So throughout my 30s, I did a lot of dating, which becomes harder and harder the older into your 30s you get, was my experience for sure, because you start losing, well, I started losing, am I trying to meet a partner or am I trying to find somebody to have a baby with, and potentially two quite different things. So I had an amazing life. I worked abroad with my job. I lived in Mumbai, in Johannesburg, in Budapest, living an amazing expat life. I loved my job. I had an amazing group of friends. We did loads of travel. I traveled all around the world. So life was really good. But all the time there was this underlying, but am I going to miss out on becoming a parent? And I dated, you know, during that time, I went on a lot of first dates. I dated a few people but nothing where I met somebody that wanted the same thing in the same time scales or where we had that connection. So when I was 37, I was living in Budapest, living this amazing life, but I just thought, if I don't do something, I'm potentially going to miss out here. So that's when I decided to investigate becoming a solo parent. At that time, it definitely wasn't my first choice. I really wanted to meet someone. I wanted to have a baby in a traditional family setup. But at the same time, I really didn't want to miss out altogether. And so decided that let me investigate this route. I didn't have any role models at that time. So I didn't know anyone else who'd done it. There was nobody really in the media that was talking about it. And there was a few people who'd solo adopted, but nobody that I knew of that had used a sperm donor to conceive. So I did feel quite alone in the situation. But I rang a clinic. They said, come down. And it's amazing how fast it all happened, because I went for a consultation at the clinic and they said, if you want, you can start on your next cycle. And after, like, you know, I'd say at that point, it was like 7 years of thinking, what was I going to do? And then 3 years of really seriously considering solo parenthood, going for an appointment and them telling you can start next month. I was like, oh my goodness. and I did. I just thought, what, there's no point waiting here. And so it just started straight away.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. That must have been quite, I mean, find it really exciting, but also daunting, right? Thinking it's now happening after all the thoughts and considerations and...
Yeah, I think it was exciting because I didn't really know that it was an option, like, seriously. And yeah, so then going to the clinic and finding out, yeah, this is absolutely doable. And, you know, many other people are also embarking on this same path. It was exciting. There was an element of grief. At that point, I was grieving for the way I thought I would do it. So I was grieving for not doing it in a partnership, not having found a partner. I also felt a bit of failure. So there was a bit of like, why has everyone else managed to find a partner and I haven't? Like, what's wrong with me? And a bit of shame maybe attached to that, of having to go down this route. That was at that time. Obviously, I feel completely differently now. And actually, with the benefit of hindsight, I'm so relieved that I decided to do it on my own rather than doing it with the wrong partner, because being a parent, I can now see that that would have been a lot harder doing it with the wrong person than doing it solo. So it was exciting. It felt empowering that I had that option, because I know in some countries there isn't that choice, and certainly back in time there wouldn't have been that choice. So I felt lucky that my ability to become a parent wasn't solely dependent on my ability to meet a suitable partner, and that I had options to mean that I didn't need to miss out.
So well said. Thank you for sharing that. And how's the process of choosing a donor sperm?
So it's different depending what clinic you go to. And my clinic was a little bit unique, actually, that they had a sperm bank attached to them. So what they did is they asked you to say what you wanted in a sperm donor. And then they sent me two profiles. Now, some people gasp in horror when I say I got two profiles, because I think as a society, we're used to having a lot of choice. And I think
yeah,
want more choice. And initially I was like, only two profiles. And they said, but those two profiles meet all of the criteria that you said was important to you. And when I read through them, I thought the only reason that I want another profile is to have more choice, not because either of these profiles wasn't suitable. So in some ways it was made easier for me because I had a choice of two. And I talked it through with my mum and my brother, and we all sort of chose the same one. One of the things that really stood out for me is that on the profile it said, in the future, I'd be really willing to meet any children that are created from my donation, not in a parental role, but just to satisfy their curiosity. And I thought that was really good, because then that gives my daughter the option. Who knows, because things can change and his view may have changed, but at least that was the intention he went into it with. So that was something that really appealed to me, to be honest.
And that's amazing to have that option again. Your daughter then decides if she wants to explore that or not, but at least it's there. And it's interesting that you said that, of course, as a society, we love options, but then imagine you were given 10 options. It would be so hard to narrow it down to two or even one.
Exactly. And I think some people have like spreadsheets of, you know, if you go and use one of the clinics that then they point you to a sperm bank, they've got way more options. And, you know, it can be a bit overwhelming. So I think that made it easier for me that choice was done by the sperm bank themselves. And then they'd narrowed it down for me a bit.
Right. And when you were exploring this option as a solo mom, did you think that perhaps if you proceed with this option, it somehow closes the door on you potentially finding a partner in the future, having more children with a partner in the future?
Definitely. So I was really nervous about this. I think in my 30s, I thought it would be really, really sad if I didn't meet a partner, and was very anxious about it, and thought, you know, just what a shame for me that I haven't met a partner. And if I pursue this, am I making it even harder for myself to then ever meet a partner? And what will that mean? What complexities will it bring in terms of having a partner when you've already got a child? So at the time, I really, really was worried about that. And then I thought to myself, well, I've not met anybody up until date. So, I mean, what difference is it really going to make? I think the biggest change for me is I've done loads of work on becoming really comfortable being single. And now if I meet a partner who enhances and enriches my life, happy days. If I don't, also happy days. I've got amazing people in my life, brilliant family, amazing friends. I've got loads of different people that bring different things. And so I don't anymore feel like something's missing.
Right.
I think as a society, we're led to believe that one partner will bring everything, you know, they'll be our everything, they'll make everything, they'll fix everything, and they'll be that one person that is there for you. And actually, I'm very open that there is still a romantic partner out there that maybe would enhance my life. But what if there isn't, I feel very satisfied with all the amazing people that are in my life and bring different things into my life. So I'm much less worried about it now because I think of it differently, and I don't feel like it would be a failure or a shame if I don't meet that one person, because I've got so many amazing people.
Thank you for sharing that. I think that's really important to hear that from you, because oftentimes that's not what we hear in society, and that's not what we are brought up to believe. So it's really helpful.
It's incredible. I was reading my daughter a story, a Roald Dahl book, and she's only six. And on the last page, it said, and the lady thought the man was very funny, so they got married and lived happily ever after. And it literally came out of the blue just at the end of the story. And I thought, gosh, she's six. And she's already getting these messages from books that happily ever after is meeting a partner, getting married, and that is what will create happily ever after. And when I was in my 20s, I watched way too many rom-coms. This was a problem. And every single one of them was happily ever after, was the woman got the man and they lived happily ever after. Every book that I read, I, you know, again, questionable taste in reading when I was younger, and all of the chick lit books, it was all, that was what was happily ever after. And just the way the media talk about people who are single, and the terminology that they use, it, all of these messages just made me feel like I would fail if I'd not achieved that. And I had to undo all of that thinking. So I've read loads of different books. I've got loads of different influences, and now think very differently about it, which makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, and it makes it easier for others as well that are exploring, that might be thinking of this option to see you, to see how you're living a wonderful life, happy life, and showing that it is okay if this is the outcome or this is the option you choose. Like there is no one way.
Exactly. And I think what's really important is I'm absolutely not in the camp of saying, I don't need a man. You know, it's not negativity about men. I'm very open to meeting somebody, but I'm not waiting to meet somebody. In the same way, I've got loads of amazing friends in my life. If a new person comes in, amazing. If they don't, I've got amazing people. So it's very much more really making the most of the people you've got in inviting and welcoming in new people to enrich your life. And if one of them is a romantic partner, brilliant. If not, it doesn't matter. I don't feel like I'm missing out is the main thing.
Thank you. And again, talking about society and the images and information they put out there and making us all believe this is what it is. One of the things that are usually said about being a solo parent is how difficult or hard it is. Is this really the case?
So it's a really difficult balance, I think, to answer this question. So what I don't want to do is change one fairy tale for another. So I don't want everyone to have the fairy tale of, you know, you meet a man, you get married, you have children, you live happily ever after, with you become a solo parent, you have a child, you live happily ever after. Of course, there are elements which are really hard. I think the main thing is the practical side of stuff. You know, everything is on you. So you're having to do all of the housework, cooking the meals, washing the clothes, getting the baby to bed, as well as trying to have some of a life yourself. So is parenting hard? My view is yes, there are elements where it's hard, particularly where they're young. My personal experience is it's getting easier and easier as my daughter's getting older. So I've just been on holiday with her, and it was the first time where I thought, oh, that was actually a really relaxing holiday because she's getting more independent. So is parenting hard? You know, yes, I haven't met many people who say, oh, parenting was like super easy. You know, people find parenting hard, particularly the lack of sleep. That makes everything harder. Is it much harder solo parenting than parenting with a partner? It absolutely depends on who your partner is. So for some people, I would say it's easier solo parenting than it is with a partner who's not the right partner, who's not contributing well, who's letting you down, who, you know, there are certain partners who do not help, or certainly don't help 50-50. There are other partners who are amazing, and it probably is a bit easier having that support of people doing some of that practical stuff, some of the emotional support, some of the financial support. So I would say it just absolutely depends on your circumstances. But what I know for sure is that it would be harder to parent with the wrong partner than it is to parent on your own. And there are plenty of advantages of parenting on your own. You know, you get to decide, you get all the choices. You decide how to parent, you decide on the child's name, you decide on where you live, like you decide everything. So it's all, you know, up to you. And there's loads of advantages of parenting solo. And I think the other thing is, I really feel like it's enriched my friendships and my relationships and my connections with friends and family, because I see family much broader and I've really welcomed those people in and they're part of my support network. Whereas sometimes I think when you've got a partner, it's you and them, and you don't necessarily invite so many other people in. So yeah, I definitely don't want to say it's easy, because I think that would be irresponsible and painting a fantasy, that there's elements that are hard, but for me, it was totally worth it. And it gets easier as they get older is my experience.
Thank you. And I love the fact that you highlighted that, of course, you have a lot of friends, family that enrich your life and make it all amazing.
And of course, you noted earlier that when you were considering this option, you didn't really see anyone that was doing the same that you could perhaps reach out to. Now, so far, have you connected with any other people that are solo parents?
Yeah. So this is exactly what I did. So when I was in the fertility clinic, right, I would look around the waiting room and think, there are other women here on their own. I wonder if they're doing it on their own, or if they just come to an appointment on their own, maybe in the middle of the day, maybe their partner was at work. And so I was always curious, and I said to the clinic, you know, can you connect me with other people who are doing this? Because that's all I wanted to know, like some people who were doing the same thing. And the clinic, of course, can't connect you for data privacy reasons. And also, it's not like that's not what they're there for. They're there to treat you, not to necessarily connect you. So as I was having treatment, I set up my own company, The Stork and I, and one of the sole purposes is to connect people with people who are going through similar things at a similar time. And so because I've set that up, I now have loads of people loads of other solo parents who are my friends. What I tend to do is try to connect people who've got children of the same age. So I've just been on holiday and we went with another solo mum and her daughter who's a similar age.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, but we've got like a big camping trip where 25 of us all solo parents. And we're going to a festival in a couple of weeks with a group of solo parents. I've set up The Stork and I to create this community where to try to make it easy for people to connect with solo parents. One, because it's brilliant for us. I love having solo parent friends because they just really understand what it's like. But two, I think it's really good for our children. So my daughter's friends with other kids who are in the same family structure. And so as she gets older, she'll have them to chat to. And also it just normalizes for her this path to parenthood. And if I look in a class, she would be the only person who's got a solo parent. To be honest, there's lots of different family structures. There's lots of, parents who've split up. Some children have lived with their grandparents for different reasons. There's lots of different scenarios, but she's the only donor conceived person from a solo parent. Whereas in our friendship group, we know loads of people because of these connections that I've set up. And I think, it really benefits me. It really benefits her. We have an annual Easter egg hunt. So we have an annual Easter get together where loads of people come and all get together. And the kids are really getting to know each other. And it's just, it's a lovely thing. And that wouldn't happen if I had a partner. It's those sorts of things that, have been created because I'm single and because I'm so passionate about this community. I know loads, and anyone who reaches out to me to say, I don't know anybody, then what I do is suggest that they join the community. And we have like a monthly call where people can connect on a call, and you can also see where people live and they can connect to people who are close by to them as well.
Amazing. Such a wonderful idea and community, because it's helpful for you, like you said, but very helpful for your daughter and for the other children. It's always important to see others like you and to know that this is okay and this is a path as well. It's not just you.
Exactly.
Thank you. So tell us more about The Stork and I.
So basically, I've got a podcast. So that is sharing different stories from different solo parents, because I think it's powerful to, especially when you're considering this, to just hear how other people have felt, what they've gone through, what their journey was. So you can listen to those stories. And then I've got a members podcast, which is more with experts. So it's with donor-conceived people sharing their lived experience of being raised in a solo parent family, and now they're adults. And also different psychologists, different experts on the subject, some dating people for people who are still interested in the dating. So that's available. And then I run group coaching courses. So basically, it's 12 people getting on the call and talking through their decision to become a solo parent and just talking through any fears that they might have about it, any questions, talking through the process a little bit, and then connecting them with other people who are going through it. And then I run the same for people who are pregnant. So connecting pregnant solo mums so that they'll have that group of people who have got children the same age as them growing up at the same time. And then the last one I do is called Solo Parent Conversations. That's getting confidence to talk to our children and other people about donor conception and how they were brought into the world.
Wow. Really impressive. I mean, so many options and things you're creating in the community, and it really is so helpful and actually encouraging for people that are listening and exploring this option and knowing that there's support, there's a community that they can reach out to and connect with, and they're not alone. Really helpful.
Yeah, I think that is the absolute key, that you don't feel alone, because I had a really great support network, you know, really amazing friends and family, but nobody that was in the same situation who'd ever experienced what I was experiencing. And so the power of meeting other people, and you speak to them and you're like, yes,
yeah.
You really understand what yeah. you because they're in the same situation. And of course, there's lots of nuances even within solo parents. You know, mm-hmm. people are in different situations. Some people didn't want to meet somebody, so they didn't have to let go of that idea. Or some people have got partners, but they don't want to have children. So they're, mm-hmm. you know, they've got that to think through. So there's lots of different nuances, but ultimately, most of the people that you connect with just really understand your situation. And there's such a power in that community, and people that you know that you can contact, and they'll understand where you're coming from, and maybe they will have gone through a similar thing. And yeah, it's so powerful. So I've benefited personally so much from it. I'm just so passionate about trying to create it for other people. And so many people struggle so much with letting go of how they thought their life was going to be. And because of all the stuff we talked about before, we've got a very clear idea about how things would be. And, you know, my idea was I would meet a man, get married, have children. And I never even, I didn't think about it very much. I just assumed that that was going to happen. And because it was so deeply embedded that that is just what happens. And so myself and many others really, really struggle of letting go of that idea. And I think that when you meet other people who are in the same situation, and you think, it's not just me, there's others that also haven't lived this route and gone down this path, it can really help you grieve for the life that you thought you would live, but then really embrace the life you are now living. So, you know, there's no time or energy wasted on wishing things were different. They're not. So all the time and energy goes on making my situation the best it can be in the circumstances I'm in, and putting all my energy into making my circumstances work for me. And it's so easy to look around at other people and think everyone's got it easier, everyone's got it better, but we don't know that, you know? Yeah. And so it's just around making my situation the best that it can be, and not worrying what anyone else is doing, just putting all my energy into making my situation the best for me in the circumstances I am. And I think once I realized that, then there was no looking back then. I was like, right. No, I can just attract amazing people into my life. I can live an amazing life. I don't need to worry that I thought I was going to be doing things in a different way. I didn't. I've let go of that. And now I'm really embracing this way. And actually, in hindsight, I'm not sure how good I would have been parenting with a partner. Actually, I think I'm quite good at parenting on my own. And I wonder whether I would have, it depends who the partner is, I'm sure, but I wonder whether I would have felt let down even if I wasn't being, I think my expectations are a bit
too high
as well. Yeah. They're like, you know, again, I want what's in the movies. So your expectations are these, like, it's going to be this fairy tale.
And yeah.
It wouldn't have been. And then I would have still felt let down. So yeah, for me, in hindsight, I think solo parenting actually is probably potentially has been easier from that point of view.
Love it. Thank you for sharing. And for people listening wanting to be part of your community, Stock and I, what is the best way to reach out to you and connect?
So Instagram is a good way. So I'm the Stork and I, and there's underscores between the word. And it's S-T-O-R-K. Some people spell Stork the other way, which is a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Instagram or my website, thestorkandi.com, and that's got all the information about everything that I offer on there. So yeah, that's the best way to connect.
Perfect. I'll put all the details as well in the show notes.
Perfect.
Another question that I would actually like to ask, because obviously you had your daughter using donor sperm, how was that conversation in letting her know? When did you start that conversation? Was that a certain age, or did he just start as soon as she was born? Or people always wonder when is the best time to talk about it.
Yeah, I actually started as soon as she was born, which felt really weird. but I'm glad that I did it. So basically, I started reading to her when she was a baby, and I just read to her some of the donor conception books. So the standard one, which I think is a really good starting point, is one from the Donor Conception Network. And it's just the very basic story about how donor conception through sperm donation in a solo parent family. And it just gives you a really good structure. But mm-hmm. I was reading it to her, and obviously she didn't understand anything. But one of the experts I spoke to for my podcast said, start when they're a baby, because you get used to the story before right. they can ask you any questions about it. And you get used to the language, and you get used to, you just get used to talking about it, and you get more confident, so that when they get older and they ask questions, you've already got used to it. So I did that. And then for my podcast, because I interviewed a lot of donor conceived people, I would ask them, how did their parents tell them? What advice have they got? And they would all just say, never make it like a sit down, I've got something to tell you grand reveal. Just make it part of normal life, normal conversation. So we use the books, not so much now, because my daughter sort of gets it now. So now it's just expanding it a little bit. Right. And I use everyday life sometimes, just, you know, if you see somebody else and you say, oh, yeah, look, and they had a baby this way. And we've got a cat, and we were talking about how cats have babies. And bless her, my daughter was saying, so Betty's our cat. She said, so has Betty used a donor then? And I said, well, I don't think cats really use donors. She probably got it from a man cat. And they thought, oh, right, okay. But it's just good to sort of use everyday life to, sometimes when she's playing with Barbies, and I talk about the family structure, and or maybe they've not got a daddy. So she's, the main thing I'm trying to do is create a space for her to feel like she can ask me anything. And as it stands at the moment, that's definitely the case. She sometimes asks for clarification about stuff. Sometimes if friends have said something, she says, you know, such a body said this, what's the answer? And so she's really coming to me and just having an open conversation about it, which is great. So start early, super confident about it. And sometimes I've had conversations with her friends' mums or friends' parents to just help to say, look, Daisy was donor conceived. If she asks this, it might be why. Or your daughter was, like, one girl was saying, you've got to have a daddy. And I just explained to the mum, you know, she hasn't got a daddy in her life because she's donor conceived. And so this is the story I tell her. It would just be helpful if you could explain it to your daughter. So, lots of conversations we have, but try to just make it natural part of everyday life. And sometimes I say, yeah, that's because, you know, remember mummy used a donor, because I say, because I couldn't find a man good enough to be your daddy. And she,
that's lovely. Yeah. I mean, I love the fact that you also talk to the friend's mum, because that's some of the issues that can arise, right? When other kids have different perceptions of what is normal, quote unquote, and then they try to argue or perhaps say, no, that's not normal. That is supposed to be something else. So, I mean, raising the awareness is important, but of course also ensuring that when it does, when issues do arise, you address it right away and let the parent also know that they have a role to play in ensuring that their children also are aware.
Absolutely. And so far, I've only had positive experiences. And actually, what often happens, which is really nice, is I've broached the subject with another parent and said, look, I just wanted to explain Daisy's donor conceived, and like the kids have been talking about it, and I just want to make sure like that you're happy with, you know, what we're saying. And then sometimes they're like, oh, actually, you know, one mum was like, actually, I'm in the middle of going through a divorce and my child's, you know, and sometimes it makes them sort of confide in you a little bit as well. Right. Everyone's going through, you know, their own
something,
stuff.
Yeah.
So sometimes I found it's opened up conversations about wider stuff. But luckily so far I've been, people have only met me with positivity in terms of, and just asking questions about like, is there any resources that they could use with their children? Because the one thing is, you know, Daisy knows all about conception and has done since she was four, whereas most other children probably wouldn't know about it that early. But again, I've spoken to experts where they say, you know, what you're telling them is absolutely fine for a four-year-old to tell, to know. And it's just that we haven't, that's not what we've shared historically. Nobody's raised a concern so far.
That's amazing. And you mentioned resources that people ask for. What are some of them that you recommend for people exploring?
There's a number of books available that you can just get from Amazon. The Donor Conception Network is a good one. Now you're going to test me what the other ones are. I can send you some links if you.
Okay, so I can put the links.
You can put the links in, and if you search for donor conception and solo parent, there's a number that come up which are quite good. I actually run a course on helping to talk with confidence to your child about being donor conceived, specifically from a solo parent family. And also you can make your own book. So I made my own book called Our Family.
That's lovely.
And it's just like pictures of who we talk about in our family. And I have a really broad definition of family. So, you know, it's our close family, and then it's some of our family friends, and, you know, some pets. And then at the back, there's information about the donor, which my daughter's not hugely interested in at the moment, but it's there so that, you know, if she ever wanted more information and she wanted to look into it more, you know, it's there for her. It's available. So yeah, it can be good. She loved that when she was young. She loved pointing at pictures of the different people. And I did feel like it gave her real confidence to talk about who her family was. Because in school, lots of people define their family as the mum, the dad, and them.
Exactly.
And we defined our family much broader. And she very confidently would say, you know, my family is my granny, my granddad, my uncle Dan, Luna the dog. And I think this helped with that, because all the pictures were in there, and we just talked about the fact that family are all the people that are really close to us and that we love and who are there for us. And I really like that definition of family.
Yes, it is the right one, really, regardless of how your family structure is. It's much larger than just the nuclear. So
exactly, yeah.
Thank you so much for being here today, Mel, and sharing your story. But looking back, knowing all that you know now and how everything has turned out, if you could go back in time to 21-year-old Mel, what would you tell her?
I would say it's all going to be okay. Because I think that for me in my 30s, I did live a good life. Luckily, I was able to still live a really fulfilling, adventurous life of what I wanted to be doing. But there was this almost like low-level anxiety of, at the same time, does me doing this mean I'm going to miss out on being a parent? And I suppose if I would have known that this was an option, and it was a just as good an option, because I kept on saying to myself, well, if I don't meet anyone, then I'll just use a sperm donor, not really thinking that that is what was going to, I just assumed I would meet somebody. So although I was saying, oh, it's an option for the future, I didn't really believe it. And when I was 37, it was a bit like, oh my gosh, I'm actually going to have to do this. I've been saying I'm going to use a sperm donor. I'm actually going to have to do this. Because I hadn't really believed it. And I suppose what I would tell my 21-year-old self is it will work out. You'll figure it out. Go and live life. Go and enjoy yourself. Don't put all this pressure on, to just take some of the pressure and the worry about it off. And I suppose I would also say, you carve your own path. Everyone's path looks different. There's no right or wrong, good or bad. Like, you've not failed if you've not done it this way. Just be confident in your path, and it will all work out. So that's what I that's the only thing, not worrying as much when I hadn't met somebody in my 30s.
Well said. And for anyone listening, as a wrap up, Mel, for anyone listening right now, currently exploring or thinking that they're gonna look at being a solo mom by choice, what word of advice, what would you share with them?
What I would say is, I say that being single and being a solo parent are two very different things, but being comfortable with being single is the foundation of being able to thrive as a solo parent. So work through anything that's still going on if you're not happy about being single. So I think that's the first thing. I would say connect. Sorry, my cat's joining us. I would say connect with other people who've gone down this path and find a support network so that you feel well supported. And then just work through anything that's still on your mind, any fears that you've got, and get some practical actions to move you forward and to help you make a decision. What I do want to say is, I don't say everybody should just do it. Because I don't think it's for everybody. And I do think that as a society, there is something around the fact that we say that we failed if we haven't had children. And actually, there is some, for some people, something to work through to say, do I want children? Or has society just told me that I won't have succeeded and if I haven't had children? So some people know clearly, but for other people, it's working through, is this the right decision for me? And doing some of that work as well. And then if anybody wants any support in working through any of that, come on Choosing Solo, which is my group coaching course for people who are considering solo parenthood. And we work through it all in a group together.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mel. It really has been amazing having you on here today. Really insightful. Thank you for sharing your story, for being open to share what has been the challenges and, of course, what has been the lovely and amazing times as well. It's really important that people hear that so they know that there are options and there are people like them who have done walk this path and it worked out okay. And if they do choose this option, it will be okay as well. All right. It's really important to see that in society and know that you can connect with others. It makes a huge difference and lets you know, again, like we said earlier, you're not alone. So thank you for all that you're doing and for being here today.
More than welcome. Lovely to chat to you.
Thank you. And we look forward to having you again in the near future.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Fertility Conversations podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Fertility Conversations. If there are any topics you would like to have discussed, please send an email to fertilityconversations@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. Thank you again for listening. Take care of yourself and do stay hopeful.